All right, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our desktop and mobile management webinar. My name is Jesslyn, and I'm an analyst here at Infotech, and I will be your host for today. I'm really looking forward to this discussion, so let's get things started. All right, so today we will be covering two important topics under the desktop and mobile management umbrella. Our analyst will share his key insights first from his recently published research, Master the Ever-Expanding Puzzle of End-User Computing with a Strategy and Roadmap, to be followed up by a discussion around his upcoming research on Create and Implement a Mobile Strategy. For those of you who are not familiar with Infotech, we're the world's fastest growing IT research and advisory firm, serving over 30,000 IT professionals. Infotech offers assistance in three main ways. First, we have do-it-yourself, where you can download our best practice blueprints from the website and work through the detailed steps and tools on your own. Or you can opt for phone support, which we call guided implementations. And these are a series of phone calls with our analysts to help you work through the blueprints. And we also offer on-site support in the form of workshops, where we can come and work with your team on-site to complete the project. We work closely with our members, and it's core to our success. From hearing your input through polls and questions during webinars, or to phone interviews and guided implementations, you truly help shape our research every step of the way. All right, so now I'd like to introduce our consulting analyst who is the lead on today's project. So Mike Batista is a senior manager here at Infotech Research Group. He covers mobile technology, consumerization, MDM, EMM, BYOD, BYOE, and other acronyms as a senior manager at Infotech. Combining these areas of interest, he also studies disruptive technology and innovation, and taking a long-term view of how rapidly advancing technology affects the IT department and the rest of the world. Before joining Infotech, Mike got his PhD in psychology from Western University. All right. So, Mike, do you want to get things started and talk to us about your recent blueprint?
Yeah, certainly. So it's called Create an End-User Computing Strategy and Roadmap. So, you know, as the title implies, it's all about end-user computing. And we use the lovely kind of infographic theme here of a road, appropriately enough. So there's a few kind of key points, and you know, through talking with our members, we identified a few kind of key pain points that having an end-user computing strategy and roadmap really address. So as the name implies, an end-user computing strategy is really all about the end-user. So unlocking what the end-user can do with the technology that IT enables can really unlock new opportunities for the business. Not only within IT, but within the business itself. So you don't want to miss new revenue opportunities that can be enabled by a strong end-user computing strategy. So employees are the most important resources, and giving them the tools that they need to do their jobs better is really necessary. Or you'll have angry users or unproductive users, and often those two things kind of go hand in hand. Having no defined strategy can result in no unified solutions. So I talk to a lot of companies that find that they have a whole bunch of initiatives on the go, all related to end-user computing, but none of them really integrate with each other. So getting that strategy and roadmap laid out up front can really make sure that all those initiatives work together, and there's integration and kind of synergy between them. It's also important to not waste money on non-critical initiatives. So the end-user computing strategy and roadmap is as much about what not to do as what to do. So a well-planned roadmap can really determine what's essential and what's not. It's more of a prioritization exercise than anything. Adding new components kind of ad hoc will also increase security concerns. So having a plan up front to safeguard against those potential concerns can really be an important component of an end-user computing strategy and roadmap. So it's really not all about technology. It's not all about devices and computers and that sort of thing. A strategy and roadmap also involves people and processes. So technology has advanced so fast in the last few years, and it always has. And especially with consumerization, BYOD, these kind of trends that you see a lot of lately, users are evolving faster than IT. And I think it's really IT's job to catch up and ensure that the strategy that they have laid out for users is ready for the next, for the present and also for the next decade. And like I said, it's no longer about the device. End-user computing revolves around the end users. So preparing those users for a multi-device world, multi-location world, is really key to having a strong strategy. And compromise is key. It can't all be about security and lockdown and IT. It has to be about the user's, happiness and productivity. And often that comes at kind of a balancing point between security and IT and the user's needs. So we, through talking with our clients and interviewing experts, we came up with kind of five project steps that really go through the process for creating an end-user computing strategy and roadmap. The first one is to identify and discuss the core end-user computing goals. So to create this roadmap, it helps to have the goals and the reason for doing the roadmap laid out up front. Having an end-user survey can be a good first step there to better understand end-users' needs and kind of get together, pilot groups that could potentially be used in these initiatives, and creating a diverse team to really lead the development of this strategy. The next step is to really prioritize those goals. So it should line up with the goals of the business. It can't all be about IT, only IT. And it's also about dividing those end users into definable user groups. I find this is often one of the most kind of tricky and time-consuming steps, is to really identify what are the different user groups, what are user groups and roles that may look different but actually end up being essentially the same, and then moving forward with a strategy that addresses each of those individually. Next is identifying the initiatives that form the strategy. So we consider a strategy and roadmap really made up of initiatives. And those aren't only technology initiatives. It can't only be implement this technology, then implement this technology. It has to be about processes, policies, people as well. It's also about building agreement around those initiatives. They're the centerpiece of the roadmap, and the roadmap will never be executed if you don't have the right people agreeing that they are a priority. So, as I've said a few times, it's about people, process, and technology. So, people initiatives often are kind of a priority. So, making sure that users are trained on new initiatives, conducting that initial survey to see what the current pain points are, etc. Processes, we'll talk a bit later about having a BYOD strategy, a bring your own device strategy. That's important to have laid out before actually implementing technology that's designed to implement that strategy. And then technology comes, and of course that's important as well. So standardizing on computing devices is often a main challenge today. Standardizing on mobile platforms is something we'll talk about later. Implementing new applications like Office 365, for example, also important. So those are just a few examples. The next step is to really refine that roadmap, identifying risks and dependencies between those initiatives, and then consolidating similar tasks to keep it to a manageable list of tasks that are coming up. After that is creating the business case and communicating that strategy and roadmap. Once you've reached this point, you're kind of in more of a futuristic situation, ready to handle the next few years. And your roadmap is looking good. And so after creating this blueprint, We have the blueprint itself that goes through the step-by-step process in detail. We also have some tools and templates that can help walk through this process. So we have a template for that end user computing or that end user computing survey. And we also have a workbook that allows you to kind of go through tab by tab and go through all these steps, get the outputs you need, and put together a written strategy that you can take to others and get approval for. I'd also like to take a moment to thank the people who helped us put this together. So like I said, we talked to experts, we talked to our members, and get input that go into the blueprint. There's two I'd like to highlight today. Jay Sweeney is the manager of collaboration and workspace services at NBTY. He had an interesting situation of showing just kind of common issues that come up when developing a strategy and roadmap, and some typical initiatives that would go into it as well. He was a pretty typical situation where he's trying to balance the standardization of technology and increasing, the functionality of end users against keeping costs down, which is kind of the eternal struggle. And exploring options like VDI, Office 365, that can help accomplish that. He also let us see that a lot of, like I've been saying all along here, it's not all about technology. So balancing HR, finance, legal, all these different departments so that everyone ha is happy is often one of the biggest challenges. It's not just a technical kind of project, it's also one that's about people and getting everyone on the same page. And that's where having a strategy and roadmap really helps. Todd Heather was the other one I wanted to highlight. He's the CTO at the Australian Taxation Office. They're in an interesting situation where they're trying to develop the office of the future. So that's what their strategy and their goal kind of is. So one of the main initiatives there is to enable a more flexible workspace. So enabling users to do their jobs from any location, any device, which allows more flexibility in the workspace itself. So you don't need a single user for every desk. Or they come in and sit at their desk and do their work and then go home. They can work from home if they need to. They can work at a workstation that's not necessarily set up just for them when they are in the office. And what that came down to is millions of dollars in real estate savings, which is kind of, it's not really what you think of when you think of an end user computing strategy, but it's certainly one of the effects that can come out of it.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Oh, sorry, I went ahead there. Remember for our audience, if you have any questions at all, please post them through the chat function. If we can't get to them during the webinar, Mike will follow up with you after your event to answer your question. All right, so Mike, now let's move on to your upcoming research, Create and Implement a Mobile Strategy. Can you give us an overview of what you're working on right now?
Yes. Oops. Sorry.
Okay.
I'll give you an overview while Jesslyn
There
gets
we go.
back there. The next project that we're working on now, we're just getting started with this, but we want to create a comprehensive blueprint for creating and implementing a mobile strategy. So one of the main initiatives that often comes out of the end user computing strategy and roadmap that I just went through is a mobile strategy. Specific to mobile devices and mobile-specific initiatives. We think that mobile really has the power to transform what users do, how they do their jobs. It's nothing new. Mobility has been around for at least a little while, but it's evolving quickly. And I think organizations really need a strategy that helps them keep up with that change. And it's really shifted away from mobile devices themselves to mobilizing the workforce itself and helping that generate enterprise value. So we'll explore issues like BYOD, use cases for mobile devices and mobile applications, pinpointing the value and readiness of new mobile technologies that are upcoming in the next few years, or just on the cusp of being released, and developing all that into a consolidated mobile strategy, and then communicating that strategy as well. So that's what we'll talk about today. Hoping to get some kind of insight from Mark and from our participants here as well.
All right, great. So moving forward, I'm just going to put up a poll here for the audience. We'd really like to talk to you directly about your experience, whether you've tried to start this project and hit roadblocks, or if you're an expert in the field and you're willing to share your knowledge with your peers. So all of these inputs really help us to deliver the practical research that our members appreciate. So I've opened the poll, and if you could respond to that. Mike, would you mind telling the audience a little bit about what goes into these calls?
Sure. It's really just an info chat most of the time. They usually last about half an hour, and we just kind of have a talk about if you're a practitioner, then we just talk about what issues you've run into, if there's any tools or templates or information that would really help you out. We'd like to hear about that so that we can aim in that direction and try to provide those for you. If you're an expert, then we'd like to pick your brain about what you've seen out there in the field, or any insight you have about what's coming up that could really affect our members.
All right, thanks, Mike. I will leave that poll up for a little while here while I move on to introduce our subject matter expert, Mark Toshik. So Mark has been working in the networking and telecommunications field for over 15 years, and prior to joining Infotech Research Group, Mark co-founded a wireless network professional services firm, Vocal Wireless, and acted as principal consultant, providing wireless expertise to mid-sized organizations across all vertical markets. Mark has also held senior management positions at Azonic Networks Inc., AT&T, and MaxLink Communications. He has extensive knowledge in the areas of technology research, process development, vendor selection, and project management. Specific expertise lies in wireless networking and mobile technologies. All right, so welcome, Mark.
Thanks, Jocelyn.
I'm just going to end this poll now. All right. And we'll move on to our first subject matter expert question. So I'll start with Mike. What are some top mobility-related challenges that organizations are facing today?
There's quite a few. One of the first ones that comes up, security. And that's not a direct result of mobility, I don't think. It's more with the freedom that mobility has kind of made users realize they can have. So trends like bring your own device really started for real, for serious with mobility. And that can bring security risks. So if a user is bringing in their own device and they're dealing with any sensitive information, then IT and the organization has really lost control of that information. So that's a big challenge that mobility has really emphasized. Support is another one. I think part of a result of that kind of loss of control is being able to limit the devices that come in and support the wide range of devices that mobility has really made possible. It used to be that you could issue a laptop to every user. Every laptop's exactly the same. And once you know how to support that, it's not easy, but it's easier to keep supporting that than it is with this new situation where there's iPhones, there's Android phones, there's tablets, there's phablets, there's everything. So supportability is another big one. Mark, did you have any kind of any other big top ones?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple of additional, and as you said, Mike, there are plenty. One would be, I think, the challenge around creating a user experience where the introduction of mobility or the permeation of mobility helps your users and your employees to do their job more effectively, more efficiently. To save time, to be more productive. in such a way that the experience for them is seamless and natural, and that they actually enjoy it and thrive on it. So really understanding those use cases and workflows, I think is a challenge. And it kind of goes back to the use cases that we talked about in the end user computing roadmap and strategy, where understanding how users are going to use mobility or can use mobility to be more productive. And I'll tell you, if you you know, if you roll mobile strategy without consideration of the impact to users, to the people who are going to use it, it's probably going to bomb. So that's a big consideration. You know, another thing that that I think comes up a lot is costs. And I think that we're at the point now where we're getting far beyond what are the costs of, you know, the devices and you know, and the mobile plans and you know, the connectivity, into more what are the costs of integrating, you know, a lot of talk about mobile first, but integrating those workflows, those applications, those services that you use every day to do your job and be productive, integrating those into mobile, and the costs of taking some applications that have traditionally been, you know, presented to users, you know, on a desktop or laptop, mobilizing them, you know, and allowing them to have a good user experience across any device, that can become, you know, that can become more expensive, and in some cases cost prohibitive, and it I think really ought to inform the strategy for your organization, depending on, you know, how far you want to go with that right now. So those are a couple more things that I think are, you know, challenges worth considering.
All right, thank you. So we'll move on here. I have a polling question for the audience. So the question is, what is your biggest challenge when it comes to mobility? And the options are security risks, high help desk load, increasing costs, low user satisfaction, or difficulty with application access or deployment. So I will leave that polling question up as we move on to our next SME question here. So Mike, what is the first pl where is the first place to start when developing a mobile strategy that deals with these challenges?
I think the first place to, or the first thing to acknowledge is that you do need a mobile strategy. You know, it can't just be a collection of unrelated initiatives that that haven't been considered together. So having a kind of a formal, you know, written but also flexible strategy is really important to start with enabling mobility in general. But you know, aside from just having a strategy, I think starting with the user base and seeing what the issues are with the current situation can really guide what your goals are and what the future situation should be. So talking to users, you know, it can even be informally, but also with a formal survey of some kind. You know, I've seen the results of several surveys like this, and it's interesting what issues just come out of the woodwork. Whether it's a specific application that's slow that nobody really had acknowledged before, or just, you know, users knowing that they can do better because they've been doing better at home. You know, if they have their tablet, their iPad, for example, that they can sit on their couch with and get way more done than they can when they come into work and sit down at their workstation, then they're not going to be happy, and they're going to wish for IT to do something about it, or they're going to go around IT. So talking to users is really, I think, a good first step. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, I think that's for sure the first step. And you know, as we do with all of our research at Infotech, you know, we tend to go through a very methodical, systematic process to help you know, develop that strategy. And that starts with, you know, as Mike said, let's assess the current state. You know, what do we have in place now? Do we have a whole bunch of sort of unrelated initiatives that that really, you know, individually are maybe okay, but collectively aren't representative of a strategy that are really going to help, you know, our users be more productive. And really, you know, the end game is for, you know, for developing a comprehensive mobile strategy is just that. I mean, there's, you know, there can be some cost implications in terms of direct quantitative cost savings in some cases. But in most cases, it's about happy, productive users who are going to get more done, simplifying workflows, making their jobs easier, and you know, a result of that, a welcome byproduct is that they will be more productive. You know, you can have impact on top line revenue, and you can have impact on bottom line costs. But I think going through that systematic process to understand what's our current state, where do we want to get to, and really taking the time to sit down and think out of the box about where do we want to go, and not sort of, you know, being limited by, you know, this is what we know now, but you know, what are the implications of what's coming in the near term future in order to move that that future goals section further, so that you've got a better understanding of where you want to get to, and then you know, doing that gap analysis, that remediation, you know, and really developing a comprehensive strategy that you know, is going to be forward-looking and is going to take into, you know, Steve Jobs used to say customers don't know what they want. So you know, asking users, you know, what do you want? They might not know the art of the possible in that case. So a lot of times, you know, I think it's incumbent on us in IT to think out of the box, or help them think out of the box for here are the, you know, the possibilities. What do you folks think of these kinds of things to move, you know, a strategy forward to make you more productive and happier?
All right, thank you. Do either of you have any comments on the results from the poll?
It was 4 users. No one cares about their satisfaction. No, I think this really shows that. I think it showed that it's really matured. Mobile strategy has really matured in the last while. When I had this conversation, you know, a year and a half ago, you know, costs would have been up there. I think, and security risks, and kind of those basic kind of risks of any initiative. Whereas now it's not just about giving users a mobile device and maybe setting up email on it. You know, they're actually using a variety of applications, a variety of services. So, you know, I can see that difficulty with application access and deployment is the number one answer here. And it shows that, you know, the need for a mobile strategy isn't just the basics. It's actually mobile devices being productive devices with a lot of different applications on them.
Yeah, it's really
That's good.
interesting to see. I agree, Mike. It's really interesting to see where this has come in really a few short years, because as you pointed out, Mike, it was, you know, it used to be about, well, we're just going to give people a mobile device and see what they do with it. We'll give them access to, you know, to PIM, to personal information management, contacts, calendaring, and email. And, you know, maybe there's a couple applications that can help them be productive. But to the point now where clearly people are starting to think about mobile first, and how am I going to get my applications deployed on mobile platforms in a usable way? And we'll talk a little bit more about this, I think, later, but it's not, in a way, it's not surprising. It's actually kind of it's kind of enlightening to see that we've evolved, you know, in a few short years to the point where this is really the key consideration.
All right, awesome. It looks like we have a question in the chat function here if you guys want to speak to that. It's what is the impact on mobile strategy when willing to offer more choice to customers?
Yeah, I think we'll talk about that in a second. You know, because there's kind of two aspects of that. There's offering more choice in company-issued devices, and there's also giving the users more choice in their own personal devices that they can use for work. And for either one, I think the impact is really moving towards a more device-agnostic situation, where applications, services can be access from any device, which is easier said than done. But when you're offering more choice, and I think, you know, it's essential that you do these days, it makes it so that you have to offer offer functionality on those different devices. Choice implies a lot more options than there used to be. So the impact is really, enabling more variety, and there's also an impact on support as well. And that's where technology like management technology comes in to really help with that. It's a lot easier using technology and that's available today, but there's still an impact where there's going to be an impact on supportability, on costs in a way, and enabling that device agnosticism is the challenge.
All right,
Yeah, and there can
thank
be
you.
implications on security as well. But again, it's actually a great segue into one of the next questions I think that we're going to talk about.
Okay. I'll move on to our next polling question now.
Do you want to just answer John's question first? Will you be discussing ways to deal with operating system sprawl and fragmentation in a BYOD environment? Not specifically, I don't think Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's something that we can, I think, we can certainly talk to
Yeah,
and
for
maybe
sure.
talk a lot more in the BYOD discussion.
Yeah, we're going to talk about BYOD next, but I think that is a challenge. The operating system, there's a lot more variety in operating systems, not just devices themselves and form factors. We'll get to the next question, but stay tuned for that.
All right,
And
thanks.
Mark, we'll get back to you too on how about more choice in applications. I don't know. We'll tackle that directly, but we'll certainly we'll come back to it.
All right, great. So the next polling question is up. It is, does your organization have a formal written mobile strategy to guide mobility-related initiatives? So the poll is open. You can get your answers in now. I'll leave it up for a little while here. And we'll move on to the next question. So, Mike, bring your own device programs are a common component of mobile strategy. Is BYOD the new normal for mobile devices?
Yeah, so I think it's yes and no. It's normal to have BY, well, not normal, but it's very common to have BYOD as an option now. I think a while ago when BYOD was kind of a new buzz term, there was the assumption that it would become the new default. So with mobile devices, every organization would start with BYOD, bring in your own smartphones, tablets, and we'll support them. And that'll replace the traditional company-issued device situation. What I've seen happen is it hasn't necessarily replaced the company-issued devices. It's been added on as another option. So I've seen few companies, there are some doing it, but I've seen not many that have gone all BYOD, where users are expected to bring in their own device and they won't be given one even as an option. It's more like BYOD living alongside the traditional kind of company-issued device model. So either adding it on as an optional addition where if we'll give you a phone, but you can have a mobile tablet in addition to that, or in a situation with just one type of device. A lot of companies say that you can optionally bring in your own phone instead of a company-issued phone, and maybe we'll give you a stipend to help pay for it. But it generally benefits to have both those options there, depending on the culture and that sort of thing. There's some companies that can't do BYOD at all as well, but I think it's become a range of different choices between company-issued devices, BYOD. Adding some choice into both of those. Mark, maybe you want to kind of address that.
Yeah, I think rarely do we see all or nothing nowadays. There's often a mix. Most often, I would say there's a mix between, a BYOD, a BYOD program as well as company issued devices. Recently we did a workshop actually on the end user computing strategy and roadmap with a member who's a fairly large global organization. who didn't really allow BYOD for various compliance and security reasons, but really were flexible about allowing choice for the devices that that people wanted to use to, in their opinion, remain most productive. And so I think that that is that's the way you sort of see the balance in environments where BYOD may not be practical due to regulatory compliance or due to low, very low risk tolerant organizations. So I would say it's becoming a common component in most environments. It's not that sort of all or nothing. More oftentimes than not, there's a mix of BYOD and corporate issued devices.
Yeah, and maybe
Right.
just to address the sorry, just to address the question of operating system sprawl. That's where technologies like EMM, which we'll talk about later, or MDM, really come in to try to kind of even the playing field between different operating systems. It used to be BlackBerrys would be managed by BlackBerry Enterprise Server. It's only one operating system to worry about. But now there's iOS, there's Android, there's Windows Phone to some extent. And there needs to be a way to really manage all of those from one place from IT's end, and also have a consistent experience on the user's end. There's no perfect answer to that and no perfect way to accomplish that, but these EMM vendors have really tried to unify the experience of managing those devices, and also even in some cases provide applications that look the same across different operating systems, and kind of bring that sprawl under control in some way. There's still the problem of Android having thousands of different versions and each one being slightly different. And there's always going to be little issues here and there, but that's where having a strategy that kind of puts limits on that up front can really help. And kind of starting simple with a smaller number of operating systems that are supported and expanding over time, I think is more likely to be successful than allowing all that sprawl of devices to come in at one time. So that's where having a strategy that kind of starts small can really help.
Right, and that is easy even, and we'll talk more about this when we get into the question. But that's even extending into desktop or traditional desktop operating systems, where SCCM and Windows Intune are fully capable and comprehensive enterprise mobility management solutions as well. So it gives you some common management plane across all those different operating systems, whether they be desktop or mobile operating systems. So there's ways to deal with it.
All right, thank you. Do either of you have any comments on the poll results? It looks like the majority of respondents do not have a formal written mobile strategy.
That's what I figured. Although I think that number would have been even larger. The no would have been even larger a little while ago. So even a third of companies that actually have a formal written strategy is not terrible. I think more should have it, and I think more and more are having it over time. But that's what this research will help with, and what we're hoping to get at here.
All right, great. Well, we'll move on to the next polling question here. So, which best describes your organization's approach to BYOD? I'll open the poll. The options are: we have a formal BYOD program, we have BYOD devices, but no formal strategy, we do not allow BYOD devices, or other. And just really quick, do you guys want to address some of the questions in the chat room? We have a question from David and Chris in there.
Yeah,
If
I
you want to
think
take
a
a look at
couple
it.
of these are, in fact, I think all of these will probably largely be addressed in one of the next discussion points.
Okay.
Chris's might not be entirely, but we'll come back to that as well.
All right. So our next SME question is: have tablets become viable devices for getting work done? Mike, do you want to start off?
Yeah, I've seen kind of a a similar trajectory as with BYOD, where when tablets first came out, there was a lot of talk. Well, when they first came out, it kind of went two ways. It was either tablets are just toys, they'll never make their way into the enterprise. Or other people were saying tablets are the next big thing. They're going to replace laptops and be the primary computing device for everyone. And like with BYOD, it hasn't been all or nothing. It's been tablets. I think the answer is yes. They're viable devices for getting work done, but only in specific use cases. So they haven't replaced laptops. I don't think laptops are going away anytime soon. But for certain user groups where they need to be more mobile, they need to carry around their device more. Tablets are viable devices, and through increasing power of applications, increasing power of the devices themselves, through technology like virtualization, desktop virtualization, there's very little that you can't do on a tablet that you could do on a full PC. So yeah, definitely viable, but it's gonna be 100% tablets anytime soon.
Right, and I'd go back, excuse me, a little bit further to, when we first started to see portable notebooks or laptops, did desktops go away? Have desktops still gone away? No, because there are certain use cases where you need the horsepower of a desktop. You need, some of the attributes of a desktop, and you don't need, mobility for that particular function. Or for the functions that that desktop are being used for. So similarly, are tablets going to completely replace their predecessors in terms of computing devices? And when you look at desktops or laptops, the answer is no. But again, going back to the use case discussion we were having before, there are so many use cases where tablets just makes so much sense, and really can allow people to be, more productive, do better work, be more accurate, where you might not even have thought of them, 5 years ago, a little less than 5 years ago, when, the first iPad came out. And we talked, back then about some of the potential use cases. But, my brother-in-law is an electrician and he works at a hospital, and they've recently gone to, all being issued tablets. All of their work orders are pushed to them on tablets. Location information is pushed to them on their tablets. They complete their work and fulfill their work order on their tablets. It's accurate, it's real time. And they say, I'm done this, now where am I going next? I was at a restaurant and one of the servers had an iPad mini that that they were using to take orders. It was basically their POS system. So she didn't have to run back to a POS system, take notes, and then go and enter the stuff. And there's room for error. It was done right on her little iPad mini, and the orders went right back to the kitchen from there. And so, and there's countless more. Those are just a couple that are really in the last couple of weeks that that come to mind. But there's countless more use cases like that, where tablets are absolutely a viable device for getting things done.
All right, thank you. We will move on to our next polling question now. And that is, which categories of mobile devices are used for work at your organization? And you can check all that apply. Smartphones, tablets, phablets, hybrid laptop tablets, or wearable devices. All right, so that polling question is open now. And we will move on to our next subject matter expert. So Mike, is enterprise mobility management or mobile device management necessary in every organization today?
I'll kind of define the terms first, just for those who aren't completely familiar with it. Mobile device management, MDM, used to be the term for the software and services that managed mobile devices. So you'd see companies like AirWatch, MobileIron, Citrix, which is Bod's Enprise, etc. that did this device management. And it was really about the device. It was locking down the device, making sure there's a passcode on it, wiping it if anything went wrong. So that was MDM. But just in the last year or so, the terminology has really moved on to enterprise mobility management, which is, it includes that device management as well, but it's moved on to be more about the applications on the device and the data and documents that are manipulated by those applications. So when we say EMM, that's really what we mean. It's kind of the evolution of MDM that includes MDM and extends it as well. But is it necessary in every organization? I'd say it, for any organization of any complexity that actually has a mobile strategy, then yes. If there's more than 50 or so devices, that's kind of been our rule of thumb, that are actively managed and used for work. There's going to be some benefit in having EMM. If there's any sensitive information being manipulated with those devices, then definitely EMM is necessary. There's some organizations that are smaller that get by with just managing them through through ActiveSync. But usually a more full-featured EMM suite is necessary. When a variety of applications are being used other than email, then I think it's mostly necessary, and increasingly it's going to be necessary for almost every organization.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think there's certainly situations where it is absolutely essential. In fact, that I think that's increasing. And the more of a, when, like Mike said, we get sort of the rule of thumb is 50. But wait, if you get to, 500 devices, and you're not, really managing mobility on those devices, not applying policies to them, not wrapping your application so that you've got secure connections back to the databases and back to the data center that's whether that be hosted internally or in the cloud that's hosting that data. Applying policies and rule sets around which applications can be installed, what are whitelisted, what are blacklisted, what content can be accessed. So you got DLP in there as well. And I think this kind of goes to helps to answer David's question, certainly, in terms of, how do you balance security with convenience? Certainly users prefer convenience, but there's an element of communication and training and policy creation and adherence that is also sort of a critical part of this because you obviously have to maybe inconvenience users a little bit when you tell them that, look, you actually have to use a password that isn't password or 12345. I'm sorry that's an inconvenience for you, but that's a communication thing. So the balance between security and convenience and meeting user preferences really is largely done through enterprise mobility management solutions. Like AirWatch and VMware AirWatch and Citrix, which was Zenprise and MobileIron and others, IBM, Mass360, they purchased FiberLink. And increasingly, I think we'll see going forward, SCCM, Microsoft SCCM and Windows Intune. Those are the solutions that enable you to really balance that security with convenience. You get into biometrics with iPhones, for instance, and it's a lot easier for me to just put my thumb on the home button on my iPhone than it is to punch in a complex password. And how you manage those policies and rules around that to strike that balance is really relies on a robust EMM enterprise class EMM solution. So I hope that sort of addresses David's question as well. This actually probably you can address Mark's question, what about more choice in applications here as well? When you get into enterprise mobility management, you've got applications that are managed. You've got applications that you say, these are going to, there's going to be some rules and policies around these applications because they contain sensitive data or because they access sensitive in our data center, or there's, privacy and confidentiality around, anything in those applications, whether that be documents or whatever. And so the how you go about offering choice in applications is managing those applications that need to be managed for enterprise risk and security, and then allowing people to have your personal applications, whatever games or whatever that you want to have on the same device without restriction, and not managing them and not sort of being big brothers and allowing those to happen, almost in another container in another bucket from those managed device or managed applications through EMM. So I hope that answers Mark's. And sorry, go ahead, Mike.
Just before we move on, I know we're running out of time, but a lot of that functionality that you described, I think that really gets at where there's a convergence between security and convenience, where if the user has kind of their separate email, their separate chat functionality that's for work, then it's a lot more convenient to keep that work stuff in one place. That's separate from their Snapchat and their Google Hangouts and all that. There usually is a balance, but I think there can be those areas often enabled through EMM where it's both convenient for the user to have that secure container, and it's also good for IT to have that container be secure. So looking for that convergence is really something to look out for in developing a strategy.
Yeah, Mike, why don't we try and tackle Chris and Andrew's questions? Just make sure we get to them before we wrap up here. Chris asks, do you find companies where they issue a device that, and you can bring your own device? Does the experience offered, e.g., BYOD, has a smaller offered capability? Not really in my experience. It depends on whether that BYOD is managed. I'll let Mike talk a little bit more about this. He's probably had more exposure to member discussions around this, but my experience has been that if the BYOD is managed, that is not necessarily the case, but oftentimes it's difficult to manage the BYOD if you aren't providing a stipend. So for instance, if you say, okay, you can bring your own device, you can use it for work, we'll allow you to use it for work or to connect to corporate resources. But we're not going to give you any money for that. When you then say to them, but guess what? We want to put the EMM client on your device so that we can manage the applications in your device. They're going to say, yeah, sorry, no, I'll step back from that. So in that respect, there probably is a smaller capability set and also a more restrictive support because you can't, well, you could, but it's very difficult to say we're going to support every type of device and every operating system that's out there through the help desk. And so, we've talked about this in some of our previous research where you really have to have policies in place that say, look, here's where we draw the line in terms of where we can support you. If you can access, the corporate applications that you're supposed to be able to, email, calendaring contacts, maybe there's an application or two, then, we can't help you beyond that. If you drop your phone in the toilet, you got to take it back to Apple. We're not going to be able to help you with that. So that's my experience. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there often is a difference between BYOD devices and company issued, and it's hard to get around that. If there is an opportunity to provide that stipend and manage those devices in the same way you manage company issued devices, there can be kind of equivalence between the functionality offered to both. And often, through an EMM solution, you can have say a corporate app store where whether it's a BYOD device or a company issued device, you can offer the same set of applications and they'll look the same either way. So if those are kind of the key applications, and you can do that securely on any type of device, then it could be kind of similar functionality between them. But it helps to kind of start smaller and make sure that you can at least offer basic functionality like email and have it be similar on company issued devices and BYOD devices, and kind of expand out from there.
Right.
All right.
And
Thanks.
then, sorry, I just want to touch on Andrew's as well. The most typical security issues and risks that most companies have experienced with BYOD. From my perspective, it's still, the wrong person getting their hands on the phone and having it, not be managed at all, so that, if there's no passcode on it, if there's no restrictions on accessing that, the implications are probably the most severe in that case. So I think that's probably the biggest single one, is that if you are not managing some restrictions on that device, even in terms of passcode, then that's probably your biggest risk. There are others around applications, unencrypted data going over, hotspots at Starbucks and things like that as well, which again, EMM comes in and does sort of app tunneling and VPN type services. So I'd say those are probably the biggest ones. Mike, what do you think?
I agree with that. I mean, there's always the kind of idiosyncratic issues that come up for each organization. So there are the typical ones, but you're always going to run into a few risks with specific applications or functionality that you didn't anticipate. But I think having that strategy up front that really shows what's acceptable, what's not on any device that you use for work, can help mitigate those and gives you more power to actually deal with those issues as they come up.
All right, thank you. You'll see I've put up the newest polling question, which is which EMM solution does your organization use? So that's open now. I'll leave that open as we move on to our next slide here. So, Mike, is device agnosticism accessing company apps and services from any mobile or non-mobile device an achievable goal in 2015?
I'd say it's getting there. It is achievable, but probably at quite a bit of cost and effort. So if you have EMM in place, then that goes a good way towards device agnosticism. Like I said, you could have that app store that applies to any device, and they're all managed from the same interface. But then you get into the issue of integration with existing applications, and so-called legacy applications, there's often applications that are running on Windows XP and don't run on any other version of Windows. So how do you get those to an iPhone? There's always those kind of that long tail of legacy applications that's going to be a bit difficult. When you get into technology like desktop virtualization, that's often seen as kind of the one technology to enable device agnosticism. If you can access a Windows desktop from any device, then that goes some way towards it. But then you run into issues like those devices weren't designed for mobile devices, or sorry, those applications weren't designed for mobile devices. So a lot of the pieces are in place. Desktop virtualization is mature enough to really be a viable solution for that. EMM is really matured to handle applications and data that are necessary to get to that device agnosticism. If you're willing to put in the cost and effort to tie all those together, then you can get pretty close to the same features on any device. But like I said, there's no kind of one vendor you can go to and say, give me a solution that makes all my devices the same. We're getting there, but I don't think that's possible today. But if you have a strategy and keep that in mind as a long-term goal, so implementing EMM today, getting users used to the idea of having their devices managed, and going to that enterprise app store for whatever apps they need. If each initiative along the strategy goes towards device agnosticism step by step, then you'll get there eventually. And I think the technology will catch up over time.
All right, thanks, Mike. Do you have anything to add, Mark?
No, I want to be mindful of people's time. David and John are having a great discussion back and forth in the chat room there, which is fantastic. Looks like Benjamin's going to participate in the discussion as well. So I do want to be really mindful of people's time, and I know you got to wrap up, Jesslyn. So I think Mike captured it well.
All right, great. So I'm just our very last polling question here is to see whether you'd be interested in participating in some of our opportunities here. So option one is if you'd like to share experience with this topic in a phone discussion with the analyst. And this is, you don't have to be an expert for this. We'd love to hear about any challenges you've had or successes. And or a phone discussion with the Infotech subject matter expert, Mark, interviewed during the webinar. And finally, a client's only opportunity is to receive free multi-call phone support. So those are guided implementations once the research is completed. So I'll leave that open for the audience for a couple more minutes here. And if you're interested in this silos research, we have a couple other blueprints on our website in this area that you could check out. And yeah, do you guys have any closing comments?
I'm just reading the discussion in our chat room here, and it's fascinating. If anyone wants to talk more about, Apple IDs in a mobile strategy, those become a real sticking point because Apple devices weren't really designed to be used in the enterprise, and they're designed to only line up with one user at a time. You know, you have your Apple ID that goes on your iPhone, and it's all your apps. So you get into separating your apps from company apps, and you run into problems. So if anyone wants to talk about that, that'd be great to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and if we didn't get to anyone's question in the chat, we can absolutely follow up with you. We have all of your contacts and everything. So, all right. Well, thanks everyone for attending. Thanks, Mike and Mark, for your insights. And I hope you all have an excellent afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.